Blog Talk Radio.
Would you like to take your power back by following the principles of the universal laws, earth-based spirituality such as pantheonism, shamanism, and personal alchemy? Are you sick of giving your power away to power-hungry gurus, the corrupt government, the globalists, and realize you have a higher purpose on this planet? That you are gods and goddesses that need to snap out of amnesia and reclaim your birthright? We're Darren and Dr. Joanna Wells, the Double B, founder of the Gods of Amenti, psychic intuitives, transformation coaches, training others to uncover lost knowledge and reclaim their sovereignty. Here to guide you every Sunday at 6 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and Wednesday 4:30 p.m. to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on our show, Living Beyond the Matrix, on freedomizerradio.com. Call-in number is 319-527-6208.
If all radio stations in town were palm trees, we'd be the one with the biggest coconuts.
Check this out. We got a great show coming your way today.
Hey, everybody, get it out!
All I can say is wow.
Lock it on to the best station on the net. Online.
God, I love the station.
I am completely in awe of him.
I'm addicted to this.
I'm excited for him.
You got it going on, girl.
I love you.
Nothing like it. Hello, welcome everyone. This is Dr. Joanna Wells. I'm here with Moving Beyond the Matrix on freedomizerradio.com. And I'm just very, very always, as always, ecstatic to be on this show. And I tell you, oh, and happy St. Paddy's Day for those of you who are Christian, whatever. It's all good. It's cool. Those of you who are not Christian, whatever, you're out there getting drunk and merry, that's good too. whatever floats your boat, right? It's all good. It's all about happy occasions. Because before, it wasn't so happy. It was not happy. Because the real history of St. Paddy's Day would be a shock to many of you out there. It really is. And supposedly, according to the history, according to the Druids, there's a lot of Druidic people that practice Druid magic and all of that, and they are thriving right now, and they beg to differ about a lot of the things that are going on of the beliefs of St. Paddy's Day right now, even though now it's become a pretty big holiday. It's all about fun. It's a festive time to drink and be merry, which is fine, but really it wasn't a really good time. Because St. Patrick was actually someone who did some horrific things. And he was also responsible for burning Druid books, 150 Druid books. And many people were murdered as well. And of course, I'm going to read this little article about St. Paddy, which is going to really enlighten you a bit. And that's what it's all about. That's what Moving Beyond the Matrix is. We are all about enlightenment, knowledge, awareness of, you know, it's like the Renaissance days, really. You know, we're moving into the age of Aquarius, kind of like back in the Renaissance days after the Inquisition had happened for 1,000 years, when many people were murdered, burnt to the stake for the witch hunt of just being a human being. And a woman, and a man, and a healer, in the name of Jesus Christ, and the Catholic Church, they were murdered, they were mutilated, for 1,000 years of oppression, and then all of a sudden here comes the Renaissance Age, right, with its art, its music, its beauty. And I believe that's exactly where we're headed. We're moving into that type of age, and I actually hope so, because it was actually a very festive, beautiful occasion at the time. But let me read you a little article really quick. So St. Patrick's Day is an Irish bank and public holiday held on March 17th every year, relating to St. Patrick, who made all the Irish become Catholic, 400 by using shamrocks, so we are told. But historians agree that the man who did this great conversion by bringing the Catholic religion to Ireland was called Palladius, who was married with children. He was most definitely not named Patrick, nor was he Irish, and there were no snakes in Ireland for either he or Patrick to eradicate, and neither he or Patrick ever mentions shamrocks. And as the current calendar is less than 250 years in use, it cannot be used to establish dates in the early medieval period, so it is highly unlikely that he died on March 17th, 460 AD. So what is his true story? Well, the saint called Patrick was not Irish. Historians agree that Patrick was born in 373 CE, giving two possible locations, Dumbarton in Scotland or on the west coast of Roman Britain, Wales. The Romans are said to have exited Britain by 410 CE. Patrick eventually retired to Glastonbury, England, where he died at the age of 111 on the 17th March 460 AD. These dates do not add up. 460 subtract 373 equals only 87 years of age. So was he 87 or 111 years old when he died? It depends on which spin you read. The man who is so well known to us as St. Patrick was originally called Maun Sukat or Maganus Sukatus Patricius. His father, Calpurnius, had been a deacon and decurion, and his grandfather was a priest. His mother was called Conchessa. Pope Celestine gave Maun Sukat or Magonus Sukatus the name of Patrick. The Pope gave him the mission of bringing the Catholic faith to Ireland. He gave him medics and other special gifts and gave him the name Patricius or Patricius. This name is derived from the Latin, two Latin words, pater civium, meaning the father of his people. The designation is like Patricus, a Latin Roman upper class name similar to patrician. Rome had three classes, patrician, plebeian, and paganus. Patrician was the ruling class, while plebeian was the working and middle class, leaving paganus to be the name rank for all those who did not obey the rule of Rome. We are told that he was taken into slavery at 16 years of age and sold in Ireland, where he worked as a sheep herder for 6 years, but sheep did not exist back then, so he would have been a goat herder. It was during his time as a slave sheep goat minder that he began to have religious visions. These visions reinforced, so we are told, his Catholic faith. During one of these visions, he heard voices that told him where he could find a getaway ship. He escaped, went to France, where he became a priest, and later on, he returned to France to become a bishop. He also burnt many Druid books, if his confessions are to be believed. 150 Druid books were burnt, and on Tara, he caused a competition with a Druid book and the Bible to be thrown into a barrel of water. Needless to say, the Druid book sank, providing that the Bible was a better book. But hang on, we are repeatedly told that the Druid did not have books. He also prayed for an old Druid to die. We are told that Archdruid Lochru was lifted up high in the air, but Patrick knelt in prayer and the Druid fell and was dashed to pieces upon a rock. St. Patrick is said to have caused the murders of almost 800 Druids. The folk tell of a she-beast called Coronach, that he banished to an island in the middle of Loch Derg in Donegal, is accompanied by the tell of a woman who followed him very closely, and that after he had banished the she-beast, this woman was never seen again. The pilgrimage today to the retreat center on Loch Derg is tricks for the followers of this St. Patrick religion because it is on the wrong island. The pagan cave temple on the island that the Catholic Church tried to use was not hospitable to them, so They moved their purgatory to another island in the same lake and achieved some commercial success for a while. There's a story about Patrick and two pagan Celtic princesses. He also caused two young princesses to die at the Ugula Well, a.k.a. Clechbach Well. Here he baptized Ithne and Fedelma, daughters of King Loaghaire of Tara. Sorry about the names. They were attending the great druid school of Cashel Mananane at Rathcrogan. The two sisters were washing when St. Patrick came upon them. He told them that the only way to see God is after death. Wow, isn't that depressing? St. Patrick then baptized them, after which they both died. Not a good plan. This seems to be a cover story for something else. We are led to believe that Ine and Fedelma died so they could enter heaven. A church in Tulsk nearby is named after them. Hang on a bit. Two young high-status female druid Daltai student druids suddenly died after a blessing by a Christian priest, only a few miles from their druid school, we are told. And so there, within sight of the palace of Cochan, Patrick baptizes them with the waters of the well of Cleobach. Ethne and Fedelma remain for a while on their knees, deep in prayer. A rough stone altar was made ready, and Patrick prepared to say Mass. Before the Mass began, the two girls came forward and again saying, "We wish to consecrate ourselves as spouses of Christ." Patrick received their vows and placed over them the veil, the first consecrated virgins in Ireland. Then they wished to see the face of Christ, but Patrick replied, "You cannot do that until you have tasted the sacrifice and passed through the door of death." "We desire these things," they replied. Patrick offered the sacrifice and gave them the Holy Eucharist. Then they closed their eyes, and then they died. Ah, come on. Why would two pagan princesses, Ithne and Red and Fedelma the Fair, studying at a druid school under royal patronage, suddenly want to be spouses, wives of Christ? Why are we told that these two female druids became nuns who were automatically brides of Christ in a polygamous marriage that could never be consummated? Why were virgins marrying a dead man? How come they died after eating Patrick's sacrament? Maybe the story needs an outside perspective. Two young princesses, Ithne and Fedelma, who were being fostered, living with high status as guests with druids Mael and Caple, were attending the great druid school of Cashel Mananan at Rathcrogan. Attended by their armed guards, were at the Clibach Well washing themselves. They are claimed by the church as being among the first converts by Patrick to his tradition. The druid school they were attending is named after the Gaelic version of the sea god that is best known today as Neptune. The school is still visible as raised banks on the west side of Glen Bally Thomas at Croachan, Rathcrogan near Tulsk in Co-Roscommon. At that time of Ithne and Fedelma, daughters of King Loaghaire of Tara, death by baptism, the native laws, a.k.a. Fenachus, Guile Law, a.k.a. Brehan Law, would have demanded King Loaghaire of Tara seek recompense from whoever was responsible, because under Celtic laws, whether by accident or by design, his two daughters were dead. But shush, the story was written long after it was supposed to have taken place, and really it is just more fake church history. The designation or title of saint for this Patrick has never been acknowledged by any of the Roman Catholic popes. The Irish church tells us that it was by public acclamation that Patrick got this title. Yet this is just spin. He was called Gnome, which means holy, just as Brigid was holy. But by being in control of the native language, the church changed the meaning of many words, and Gnome changed from being holy to being saint. When this happened, no one could say anything because the church wielded the power of life and death and social ostracization, excommunication against its detractors. Today, we are told that the head of Patrick, like that of Colum Seal and Brigid, rests in a Jesuit church in Portugal. Their three bodies are buried in Downpatrick in the north of Ireland. stories claim that when he was 60 years old, St. Patrick chose to go back to Ireland, the land of his slave years, to give the Gael the Catholic word. This was a very advanced age for the time, and today the equivalent age may be near 90. His charisma converted many people, and in the written records, the church scribe tells us that he used the three-leafed shamrock to share the idea of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit make God. In Ireland, we have five types of three-leaf clovers, trifolium, dubium, lesser trifolium, repens, white clover, and metacap, lupulina, black medic, oxalis, acetosella, wood sorrel, and red clover. These five trifoils have easy to spot differences, and most could be found anywhere on the island by St. Patrick. Never even mentions one of them. Think about this. Patrick never mentioned shamrocks or seamrogs once. Never. The Irish word for shamrock is seamrog, and it means summer plant. It grows in the wild all over the northern hemisphere at high altitudes in the tropics and even in Africa, and believe it or not, even in South America. Many of these countries have snakes, some of which are huge, others deadly. The type of shamrock given by our Toa Seish to the U.S. president is originally from Morocco, but don't tell either of them. Because there are no mention of the three-leaf clover, shamrock in Patrick's writings can be concluded that this claim association is quite simple, modern propaganda by his promoters. The first written reference to shamrocks in conjunction with St. Patrick was made in 1571, over 1,000 years after St. Patrick had passed over. The seamrog became the badge of St. Patrick's Day in 1681 in America. The first written record of the shamrock being a symbol of Catholic Trinity appears in 1727. So it can be easily understood that the myth of St. Patrick had a shamrock symbol added to it only a few hundred years ago. It may be obvious to some that this was a commercialization tactic as well as displacement of native practices honoring the spring equinox. The shamrock is not official symbol of Ireland. This honor is reserved for the Celtic harp. The shamrock now represents the culture of the Catholic Church hero of St. Patrick. The shamrock became a symbol of rebellion against the oppression of Queen Victoria, who made it a capital crime punishable by death to wear the shamrock. This was probably the most influential reason for the worldwide adoption by Irish people and their sympathizers of the shamrock as symbol of Irishness. Legend has it that St. Patrick drove all the snakes out of Ireland, and they all went into sea and drowned. There is no reason to believe there were actually any snakes in Ireland ever. There is no archaeological proof of snakes anywhere in Ireland at any time in the past. As this knowledge becomes more available, we got fed the notion into our mainstream consciousness that this is probably an allegory for driving out of paganism. Snakes were a revered pagan symbol in some places. But this is just not so far Ireland. There were not and are not any snakes in Ireland, so adding in bits of foreign snake lore is just disinformation. The famous mountain of Crow, Patrick, or as it's more commonly known in Ireland, the Reek, was a place of pagan pilgrimage long before the Christians became Catholic in 325 AD. It is a round cone-shaped mountain that looks like a pyramid from a distance. This holy mountain is quartzite with seams of gold throughout it sits on the western seaboard overlooking the Atlantic Ocean and the setting sun. Croa Patrick, a.k.a. the Reek, was once known as Crucan Aigli, or in English, Eagle Mountain. It is 2510 feet above sea level. It has always been a holy place with pilgrimage on the last Sunday of July during Catholic times, which is, of course, the wrong day as the sun magic happens later in the month, but the plan was to disconnect the people from the sun and connect them to a foreign religion. This last Sunday of the month of July is now used because of traditional connection to Lugnasa, the harvest festival of Lug, a bright god of the Tuatha De Danann, and in his day at May have been called Canach Lug. Archaeological investigations backed up by excavations show that a hill fort with stone ramparts and dwellings and 30 Het sites are to be found on the top of the reek. There are ancient cooking sites, megalithic tombs, standing stones, burial mounds, ring forts, and today's modern Catholic church. I doubt that many Catholic pilgrims know that this holy mountain was sacred to Lug, or before that to the great fertility god Crom. Its old name of Eagle Mountain may refer to the practice of excarnation, defleshing of the dead by carrion birds before burning of the remains, and finally internment of the remaining bones in an earthen mound. This practice was not uncommon in prehistoric times. It was on this holy mountain that St. Patrick supposedly did his greatest magic, when he summoned a great host of loathsome and venomous creatures and then commanded them to cast themselves over the edge of the mountain, thus freeing the Irish countryside from all kinds of reptiles. This included dragons, snakes, and all types of reptiles, none of which ever existed in Ireland. We are told that St. Patrick did this by verbal command. The actual truth is that there were no snakes in Ireland, and long after he was dead and his head was gone into Jesuit care, somebody just added the trick to St. Patrick's name. It was as if the pagan traditions were still so strong with a Lugnasa pilgrimage to the Reek in August that something had to be done to displace the old ways, and such a fantastic story as dragon snake banishing fitted the bill. It had to be long after St. Patrick's death, or else everyone would know it was just made-up fantasy. So St. Patrick's famous mountain was the most revered place of pilgrimage to the pagan god Lug. Hang on a minute. There were no snakes to be banished, and he never mentioned shamrocks in his writings. No pope would call him saint, and his famous site is a place of ancient pagan pilgrimage. Maybe there was something else that was being occulted from our view by those who would impose a foreign religion on the indigenous practices of our people. The Catholic Church displaced the pagan pilgrimage for Lug with our last Sunday in July. But the holy mountain was seen as holy before they came and will be seen as holy when they are gone too. The conclusion offered is that this legend of Patrick was fabricated because he did not bring the Catholic faith or Christian beliefs to Ireland. He was an Irish. It is highly unlikely that he could live to be 111 years of age when the usual life expectancy was maybe 40 to 50-ish. He was given immense powers of traveling the entire country, building churches and digging wells, killing dragons, snakes, and reptiles that did not exist, burning 150 druid books that did not exist, praying for old arc druids to die, killing or causing 800 druids to be killed, having a female follower who was close to him disappear linked to a she-bee story, causing two princesses to die by his baptism. He never mentioned shamrocks in his writings, and he was given the totem of a shamrock long after he was dead. His title is not recognized by the leader of his own religion because no pope would call him a saint, and his fabricated importance was set up to displace a pagan god. His most famous place was and is sacred to the pagan god Lu, where he can still see incredible sun, where we can still see incredible sun and landscape, magic as our ancestors did. The reality today is that on the 17th of March, many rivers are dyed green and people wear funny green hats and drink far too much alcohol, especially green beer, and pretend to be Irish. Do people make drunken fools of themselves on this day because they reckon that is what St. Patrick did? He has outlived his usefulness to the church that fabricated him and has become an alcoholic embarrassment for them. He is now a champion golem to excess commercialism. This is today's true story of St. Patrick. Con, an old essay, Refined Iraq, 2018. So a lot of this information that I found it pretty interesting, is under the Celtic Druid Temple. You can find it out. Go to CelticDruidTemple.com, and you can find out this information. So I just wanted to share that with you. I thought it was very, very fascinating. You know, we really need to learn the truth about the history and many of our histories, because we're led to believe a lot of BS. We're led to believe a lot of lies. And the same applies to a lot of religion. And they knew that the god Lu, or Luff, however you say it correctly, was the opening of the summertime. or yeah, in July, or after July, actually, after the summer. And it marks a special time for the pagans, for the pagan holidays and the pagan seasons. But, you know, they knew it was a pagan season, so they had to cover it up with St. Paddy's Day and all this other stuff that just didn't make any sense. So that is what I'm here to talk about. You know, there's a lot. It is so important. You have to question everything, folks. You have to question your history. You have to question your religion. You have to question a lot of these histories in order to understand your heritage and the ancestors. And my husband wishes to say something.
Yeah, it's all about education in the right format. So you just imagine that you've been at school since you were a young child and you spent several years. I mean, how long do we spend at school? Is it like 8 years or something of our lives? 8, 10 years of our lives or something?
Yeah, many years.
From kindergarten to middle school to high school. And then even college and university, we're still learning in that format. But that format is a controlled format. It's not the real history. It's not the real education. It's twisted. It's refined to train you in such a way and to be a slave to the system. This is what it's all about. So if you want external education, look for it. You have to go out and look for it. You have to be the one to ask questions and to find yourself. You have to be the hunter-gatherer of your own education, because the system will give you education, but it's not the appropriate and correct education, right? So you have to remember this. If you want it, it is out there. The truth is out there. You know, just like it says in certain movies, it is out there. We found it. And so do millions of others. And this is why there's a lot of people out there that are making it big, just like we are, because we found the secret. We found the way on how to adapt the mind and how to program yourself in such a way and how to get certain frequencies in the correct way in your body. There's an adapt way and several things you have to take into consideration to be successful. It's not taught in normal education. So this is why we are the alternative education. This is what we do. This is what God's of Amenti is. This is what we stand for, the alternative way to the system. And moving beyond the matrix, exactly what it says. We are moving beyond the matrix. We are moving beyond the bullshit. We are teaching you the real stuff. So stick around. You might learn something.
Exactly. So that is the deal. And then, you know, we always need to question, you know, of course, religion. It's very, very important. And as you noticed that, and my husband and I were talking about this, that in the United States, is based upon Judaism. I don't know if you realize that or not, based upon the Ten Commandments. Supposedly, you know, the founding fathers founded the country. It was based upon the Ten Commandments. And when boys are born, they are to be circumcised. I mean, they have a choice. You know, of course, the Catholics would say no, but the Christians would say yes, okay? But it's all Jewish-based, okay? And many of the energy and a lot of the stuff coming from that, all you got to do is go back to history. Go back to what happened back in many of these cultures that were wiped out in the name of Jesus Christ. And there's a very particular story that is very interesting that I highly recommend that you check out. There's a movie called Agora, and it's about a woman named Hypatia back in the Hellenistic age. And she was a magician, alchemist. She was a philosopher, a mathematician, like a scientist. She was a very, very smart woman, and she came from nobility or a noble, very high. She was part of the aristocrats, okay? And one day, you know, she's just, you know, she's teaching her students. She's teaching her students a bunch of fun stuff. And, you know, she says it doesn't matter what religion you are. You could be Christian. You could be whatever the hell. But in this temple, we are all brothers. That is it. We don't care. Just keep the crap outside, outside. What's going on outside? Because during that time, which I believe, if I'm correct, if I think it was 415 AD after Christ's death, that a bunch of Christians swarmed into Alexandria where she taught, in Alexandria of Egypt. And these Christian people, and I believe that they were, infiltration of Christianity, okay? Because there were other Christians in the past before, and they were very peaceful people. They lived among, they listened to the word, and they mined themselves, and everything was fine. But this mob came in, and they looked very disgusting. They were all dressed like in disgusting clothes. They looked like they haven't brushed their teeth in years. And they're preaching the word of the good news for everyone about the word of Christ and all this stuff. And then they just created such a hellish, I mean, they brought a lot of negativity into this beautiful city of Alexandria where there was paganism and people had their own ideals and they had their music. And it was like a Renaissance time at that time. It was the Hellenistic classical age. And it was a beautiful time. You know, people were free to believe in their gods and, you know, whatever it was. And it was just different. The mindset was a lot different. And people had the choice to debate on their ideas, whether they agreed or disagreed. But it was very healthy. You know, a lot of philosophers were back then and healers and all of that. So when this Christian mob came in, they pretty much destroyed the place. And murdered a bunch of people in the city in the name of Jesus Christ. And if you didn't convert, you would be murdered. I mean, totally turned that whole place upside down. And Hypatia was trying to ignore it the best she could. She tried to teach her students as much as she could, but there was just people dropping dead like flies everywhere. People getting murdered, and that's what I mean. They were getting murdered. It was disgusting. Imagine the smell of people's corpses in the streets in the name of Jesus Christ, right? And, you know, I'm not here to blame Jesus because Jesus had nothing to do with it. That was the truth. You know, Jesus was about compassion. He was about love. He was trying to teach people to be nice, you know, not evil and, you know, evil against one another. And so later on, it hit Hypatia. She ended up one day, she was on her little carriage, you know, in the little horsey carriage, and, you know, the horses were taking her into the city town. And the Christian mob, it was just chaos by then. They took her out of her, they ripped her out of the carriage. They took her clothes off. They raped her, they ripped her clothes off. And they got abalone shells and they skinned her alive in the name of Jesus Christ, guys. Okay? I want you to understand that for a minute and sit with this truth for a minute. It doesn't matter who they are. If they could have been Christian, they could have been Muslim, they could have been, you know, Satanist, they could have been fairy people, who cares? The fact is they were human beings. And having power over another human being, that was the case. And because she would not bow down to their ways, because she says, no, my religion is philosophy, because I question everything, and I expect you to question everything as well, is what she stated in the council when she went into the council to speak to the men about this. And they murdered her. They took her limbs off. They did some atrocious stuff. They skinned the poor lady alive because she could not bow down to their bullshit religion, okay? And she was a pagan woman. She was peaceful. She was even peaceful among the Christian people. She loved them anyway, even as a pagan. She didn't have to believe in Jesus Christ to do that. But that history about her has really, when I saw that movie, it really changed my life. I actually learned about her, you know, through the history books, you know, in school, and also from a book by John Lamb Lash, called In His Image. He actually starts the book out with that story. And I, you know, I would see her as a goddess. You know, she was a human being, but, you know, we are all gods and goddesses if we can just wake the fuck up. She was a hero. She was a hero to a lot of people. And not just her. There were many, many others, many women, many men that were heroes trying to share the truth. Even Jesus was trying to share the truth to basically say, hey, quit praying to these Pharisees, quit praying to the tax collectors. He was really trying to speak out. But unfortunately, the Catholic Roman Church decided to use him as a cash cow in the name of their church so they can make a lot of money using his name after they so-called, I guess they murdered him. The stories have said that he was even murdered on the cross, but then I've heard many other stories. Either way, many people were murdered on the cross. It was a very horrific time during that time, during the Christian, the Dark Ages. And that's exactly what happened with Hypatia's death. It actually opened up a new chapter into the Dark Ages, and the Dark Ages lasted for 1,000 years, okay? I'm bringing this up to you. And after 1,000 years, here comes the Renaissance where people just realize, you know what? Killing people in the name of Jesus Christ is just not working. You've murdered 9 million women, and you said witches, but they were just women. I mean, come on, you are... You know, it was in the name of genocide. Any type of war in this day and age, and even back then, is in the name of genocide. Look what's going on in Israel. Look what's going on in Palestine. And Israel is ran by the Zionists. The Zionist Jews, they're not really, we wouldn't call them Jews, but from what a rabbi said in Israel, said, yeah, they were former Jews, but then they decided to turn into the materialistic way and become power hungry over the people, okay? Those are the Zionists. In every religion, there's going to be some type of fanaticism, whether it's Judaism, Christianity, Muslim, you know, any type of religion, basically that is about having power over the people, okay? Power over the people, listen to me. I am connected to God. I have the words from Jesus Christ because I am the chosen one. You are to listen to me. And this is exactly what the priests did, the pharaohs did. You know, they had their beliefs with the Egyptian gods. But they still had control over the people, and they weren't even Christians. They still had control over their people, the pharaohs. They weren't Christians, but it goes all the way back to the Hyksos, all the way back. And if you look into Michael Tsarian's work, I've been following him for many, many years, he goes into that about the Hyksos, about the Heliopolis, about the Jewish people back then, the Canaanites, and the gods that they worshiped. The Canaanites worshiped many gods at the time, many pagan gods, and Yahweh was one of them, and Yahweh was actually the god of the storm at the time. But then later on, he was adopted as being the god of, you know, of the Bible, of the Torah, and we are to follow him and all of this. I mean, you really got to check out that book, In His Image. It's really good because he really gets into it. I mean, he tells you the story. You're going way back. I mean, you feel like you're going back in those days. You really feel it, where he takes you all the way back during the time of the Canaanites, their belief systems, and he calls it basically, it's like the mind virus. It's all about redemption, the redemption hero, a virus, where always looking to a hero to save them and redeem them of their sins or their ways, you know, all of this stuff. And it's a program. This program began thousands of years ago. Really, it actually started way before Jesus ever came around, you know, way before that.
And all you got to do is just think about it. Well, you just got to be responsible. That's what it's all about, responsibility. If you can be responsible for your actions, you don't need anything else. You don't need an external force, external governance. Because once your mind is locked into a specific place, because it's all about mindset. As soon as your mindset is locked in the appropriate way, then you do not need governance. You can be, what word did I just use there? Responsibility. You can be responsible for everything, but you have to be responsible for everything.
And be held accountability.
Yes, you have to be held accountable. And if you fuck up, you have to say, sorry, my bad, I'm going to take it on the chin. That's it.
Exactly. You're not going to blame the devil for your problems. And that was the problem. And then it carried on into, you know, there's another movie called The Crucible, what happened to the pilgrims in Salem, to all the witches, you know, what happened to the witches in Salem. And many of them were not witches. They were human beings. And it was insane. If you see the movie, you'd be like, damn, I'd be afraid to even live there back then because they think I'm this or that or whatever they would think I was. And I'll tell you, I would definitely be burnt to the stake many freaking times because I am a witch and I'm fucking proud of it. They wouldn't like it. They wouldn't like it at all. So, you know, I am one of the granddaughters that they failed to burn, right? Because we are the granddaughters of the witches that were not burnt. You know, burnt to the stake. And we're here carrying on a legacy for our ancestors because my family, my grandparents, my mother's side was, my mother's grandmother was Cherokee or Choctaw Indian. And my father's side, you know, they're Mexican. And I mean, either, it doesn't matter. Every human being, your ancestors have something to do with some indigenous, spirituality and belief systems that were destroyed by this horrific mind virus, okay? Mind program that was deliberately used among the people. And it happened again, let me tell you, thousands of years ago, even before Jesus was born. So I'm not blaming Christianity here. I'm just saying Christianity is a branch of that. But there were other types of religious things that they utilized just to demonize the people, demonize the gods that they were worshiping or connecting with, a lot of the nature gods. I mean, you see that in the Amazons, in the pagan religions, in Wicca. And Native American, they conjure up, you know, the animals and the animal spirits and the plants. And, you know, they learn to live among nature and become the caretakers of nature, not rulers of it. They never once claimed that they owned anything. They didn't own this land. They're here as caretakers because Gaia is the mother of this land. She is a living, breathing being. And that is the basis of paganism. Okay, that's the basis of paganism. But when Christianity came in, it just, a lot of fear came through and people were running for their lives. The ones, they got really scared. A lot of people were running for their lives. So anyway, you know, this is the time that we need to really wake up and do our own due diligence. Unfortunately, you know, you try to find information now on Google about things that I used to widely find. It's getting harder to find. If you want to find anything about sovereignty, about being a secure creditor, about anything, you know, even paganism, even witchcraft or certain things like that, it's getting harder. It's like it's being censored for you to keep you from looking and searching for knowledge, lost knowledge. It seems like we may have to go to the dark side of the web to find more knowledge or the deep web to find knowledge because the Google monster has pretty much... is censoring everybody, every site, everything. And it is getting scary, okay? And that is why, like, when I get books online, you know, I get Kindle, I prefer to get real paperback books because I have a feeling they're going to get rid of all of those books that are electrical.
Just like they did back in the days of Nazism, mm-hmm. back in the World War II, they were burning books. They had it all, the knowledge, and they thought, nah, you're not having it because you're, the more knowledge you have, the more greater you will be against these people that are fighting against us. So mm-hmm. you're all wondering about World War III. It's not nuclear. It's an information war. We're in the information age now. Obviously, we've passed the industrial age back in the... 80s, 90s, 2000s, when all these magnificent things came about. Oh, yeah, we can build this. We can do this now. But yet, we're still scratching our heads. Why can't we still build things like the pyramids? Why can't we go to the moon? What happened? Tartaria. Mm-hmm. Tartarian structures. It's been about. They had that technology before us, before we were here. Why are they hiding it? I'll tell you why. Because they don't want us in control. They do not want us to thrive. They want to control us. That's what it's all about. So if you notice now, we're in the information age, and the information is pouring out as fast as it can get past those lips. And I swear to God, when you look at it, which there's so much information out there now, it's unbelievable. I mean, I'm still trying to think ahead and look at this stuff. And you think, well, you don't know what's just been released. You don't know what's, oh, that's been released. We don't know because we've never been taught. We don't know what to look for. That's the key. You don't know what to look for. So this is why we're saying question everything. How come? Why is this? Why is that? How is it possible? All these questions. I mean, it is. The truth is out there. I mean, you just have to look and you have to question everything. And those in authority that say they are in authority, you have to question even those by saying, prove it. Prove you have authority over me. Because when they come to saying, oh, well, the Magna Carta or the Constitution does not apply, they're full of shit because it still does. They're just trying to distract you from everything. So it's hard to say, are we really in a world of information or are we in a world of distraction? That's your choice. It's up to you. If you want to thrive, start questioning everything. If not, just continue as you are and just enjoy your life as you wish it to be. But if you want to thrive and excel and also evolutionize, put something forward towards your life for the rest of humanity, this is the way, this is what we do, this is what we show. We are sure, we are way-showers. That's what we are, we are way-showers. We have so much knowledge to give, and that's exactly what we do here at Gods of Amenti.
And moving beyond the matrix. So, yes, you know, so the ways about it, and you're probably thinking, well, what do we do? What do we do? Well, the first is to educate yourself, to do your own research. And yes, it is hard to find information now. It seems to be getting harder and harder now. And there's ways that you're just going to have to look. And of course, in a spiritual sense, you just connect. You connect with your higher self and say, please give me more information. Please help me. Help me to find more information that I need at this moment in time that's going to help me succeed in life and with whatever it is that you're trying to do. Okay. So the good news I wanted to mention also is that we decided to resurrect our temple, which is the Raven Moon Shadow Temple. Now, it's been going on in the background as a business, of course. You know, I've been teaching people to become secure creditors and to create a powerful silver bullet trust to protect their assets and all that for many years. But then I decided, you know what, I'm going to go all out now. I'm going all out, and the focal point is this powerful temple. And what it's about, and let me go ahead and read the principles of this temple so I can share that part with you. Let me see here. Let's see, it's called RavenmoonShadowTemple.com if you want to go check it out. But anyway, and just want to let you know so you do not freak out because I'm going to explain these archetypes that we are connecting with, and which are pagan gods or pagan deities or entities, okay? The principle of the Raven Moon Shadow Temple, we are a temple based on paganism and Luciferianism. Now, before you start freaking out about Lucifer, I'm going to share with you something you might not know about him. Before Christianity came to demonize him, We do not worship any entities. You know, we don't grovel at our knees and pray and hope and pray like what a lot of the Christians and Jews might do. I don't know about the Jews, but I know about the Christians. We don't pray or connect with oppressive gods or anything to oppress us, to make us feel bad about our bodies, shameful about ourselves, okay? So anyways, we don't worship them. We don't worship any entities. However, we see them as our kin and guides to break free from the mind control and mind virus and slavery of humanity. We see Lucifer as a light bearer who was identified first with Greek mythology. In Greek mythology, Lucifer is known as the light bearer, the light bringer. He is often associated with the morning star, representing the first light of dawn. Lucifer is believed to have been a minor deity or celestial responsible for bringing light to the world, symbolizing hope and new beginnings. One interesting aspect of Lucifer's role in Greek mythology is his association with the god Apollo. Apollo, the god of light, I believe he's the god of the sun, music, and prophecy share similar attributes with Lucifer. Both are linked to the concept of illumination and enlightenment. And that's what we are about, illumination and enlightenment. Another significant connection is Greek mythology is the association between Lucifer and the goddess Diana, Lucifera, of Ephesus. Diana Lucifera, often identified with the moon, goddess Artemis, embodied feminine power, fertility, and protection. Unlike the negative connotations associated with Lucifer in later Christian beliefs, the Greek mythology portrays him positively. Lucifer represents the hope and beauty accompanying the arrival of a new day, infusing the world with light and warmth. His presence signifies the beginning of cool pastures and the promise of a fruitful day ahead. And the powerful principles of Luciferianism that I really identify with is one, individualism. Luciferianism emphasizes the importance of the individual and the pursuit of personal growth and enlightenment. Number two, seeking knowledge. Luciferians are encouraged to seek knowledge, wisdom, and self-improvement. Number three, personal responsibility. Luciferians believe in taking responsibility for their own actions and choices. Number four, opposition to authoritarianism. Luciferians often reject traditional authority and seek to break free from societal norms and restrictions. Number five, embracing change and transformation. Luciferianism is often associated with concepts of change, transformation, and evolution. Number six, balance of light and darkness. Luciferians may see value in exploring both light and darkness within themselves and the world. Number seven, self-deification. Some Luciferians may strive for self-deification, seeing themselves as divine or striving for godlike qualities. Number eight, we see the power in practicing magic to manipulate the reality we live to conform to our desires. That no authority has any right to tell you what you should or shouldn't do with your own body, unless you give them permission, of course. We protect our members from being coerced into injecting foreign objects into their bodies. Science or not, you as a human being have the right to say no. Science, we have to remember, was hijacked and manipulated by the exact echelons who are using human energy as their food. Number 10, we support and protect Mother Nature and all her inhabitants, humans, animals, plants, trees, whatever. Number 11, we engage in rituals to align with natural rhythms of life marked by lunar phases and seasonal cycles. And it just goes on. You can go ahead and read it. But that is exactly what our temple is about. And we are taking members. It's free to join. You just subscribe and you've joined. And we'll tune into our podcast every week, our newsletters every week. And if you'd like to move further along, I'm going to be putting together a course, a very awesome course that is going to be a reflection of the temple and the teachings and learning about magic, learning about Luciferianism, learning about being, you know, empowered within yourself, being the God that you truly, really are, and so forth. Okay. So I'm working on that right now, but right now I'm getting, we just launched this church or temple, and it is based out of Las Vegas, Nevada. It's actually been going since 2021, and we're just grateful to finally launch it and get the word out there. And with that, we don't just talk about spirituality. Everything that we're sharing with you on the podcast is exactly what we're talking about right now. And that is, I mean, what have I been talking about with this past almost 90 minutes here, you see? And, you know, about sovereignty, about breaking free, about awakening to the reality. You know, I have a lot of students that are, you know, secure creditors or sovereigns, and a lot of them, they, you know, they're Christians as well. But they have to realize in their own timing, in their own research, and I cannot convert people and say and push it down their throats that, no, you need to believe in Luciferianism, and if you don't, you know. No, this is something that they have to find out on their own and do more research and have the power and confidence and courage to question their religion. Because with questioning the religion, they're going to find more answers, and their higher self is just going to guide them to where they need to be. And that's exactly what happened to me, because when I was going through a bad situation with an ex-husband who took my first two children from me, had an affair with another woman, and, you know, pretty much made me sound like I was the worst person on the fucking planet, but he was doing atrocious things himself. I put it out there to the universe, to my higher self, what do I need to do to put a stop to his cruelty? What do I need to do? And with that, my higher self, could have been Lucifer, who knows, could have been Azazel, who knows what, but I like to say my higher self and maybe the entities along with it, guided me on becoming kind of a Luciferian, where I learned to break free from the restraints of the courts. I found out the truth about them, that they operate as de facto courts. They operate fictionally, and they operate under the color of law, which is absolutely fake, 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 under the laws of statute, not even the law at all. So it is a fake reality that we've been living with all this time, and because they also use fake money, money that is not really backed up by anything. They can print money all they want. And they can create a bunch of crap out of this money, you know, buy things, buy, you know, private jets, whatever. They can print away, because all of their laborers, all their peasants are working for the dollar. They're laboring for that dollar money that does not really, really, really exist, that has no real value, like gold and silver or even Bitcoin, okay? So they had these people under a spell for many, many years, that to believe that they are under them and they are slaves, they're not good enough. And it isn't until they die, they get to see God, just like in the article that I read about St. Patrick. You know, they're not good enough, but their salvation will be in heaven when they die. But the truth is, when you die, you will be recycled back here. But you also have a choice when you die. When you leave this realm, you have a choice to not go through the light, the tunnel light, which beckons you in to be reborn again. And it's been going on for thousands of years. But we have the power to turn our backs to the tunnel of light and say, you know what? Take me home, universe. Take me home. Creator, prime creator, whoever this is, take me home, and you will be taken home to where you truly belong. And you can actually take a break over there and just be on vacation for a while. And if you decide, you know what, I do want to come back to Earth, because, you know, Earth can be pretty damn exciting, because it is a place where you can manifest things, where you can utilize the power of magic. If you come back knowing that you are magical, that you have that power, you can turn this reality into something very fun for yourself. But if you come back here thinking that you are a peasant, that you're a sinner, that you're not good enough, then you just turned your life into a hellish world, okay? I mean, even the Seventh-day Adventist has even mentioned, because my mother told me her father was a Seventh-day Adventist, believed that hell was on earth. hell was already here. I mean, what other planet do you have to pay that you're, what other planet that you are born on do you have to pay for? Because the Andromedans believe that that is atrocious. Like, why would you be, why would you pay for a planet that you were already born on? According to Alex Collier, he was a contact from the Andromedans, an extraterrestrial race. But it is true. Why would you have to pay for a planet that you were born on? And here comes this idea of that their type of money, which is to imprison the human being. But we are at a time, I believe, we have entered the age of Aquarius, that we are now becoming more awake, especially what happened with the COVID thing. You know, we're starting to really come out of that shell of realizing, like, whoa, we have been in this acid trip for a very long time, and it's just time to get off it, you know, time to wake up and time to take our power back. And the way to do it is through, there's so many ways. Meditation is one of them. Ritual work is one of them. Connecting with the spirit guides, your spirit animals, you know, the sun, the moon, the rain, the river, the sea. I mean, nature, really, nature is what you need to reconnect with, because we're so tied to our devices, aren't we? Computer devices, technology, all that stuff. We really need to be connected with our beautiful brother and sister animals, you know. I have nine kitties that I'm in love with. And I love animals so much. My family and I are just big-time animal-loving pagans, and that's what pagans are. We love animals. We want to look like animals. We want to dress up in animal clothes. My daughter, she's already creating these little animal masks because she wants to be a wolf. She wants to be a coyote. She wants to be everything, right? All these cute little animals. And we respect animals. We love them very much. They are our family. They are our kin. They are our brothers and sisters as well. That's how we see them, okay? But a lot of these other religions, Abrahamic religions, they don't see much respect for animals. You know, in the Bible it says, well, you know, animals don't really have a soul. They don't really have anything. So basically they're worthless and useless pretty much. And I had a debate with my ex-husband, my first ex-husband, about it. You know, he sounded like a freaking preacher when I met him, because his parents were Church of God in North Carolina. And now he's a Satanist. But anyway, he was talking about, you know, just the Bible, what it was saying. And I go, wow, I just can't believe that shit. I can't believe that. That animals don't have emotions, that they don't have a soul. What type of bullshit is that? Like, I got really pissed off about it. And I don't believe that. I don't believe in a lot of the Bible because of what a lot of it was created by other writers. And that had nothing to do with Jesus. They never even met the guy. They wrote about him years ago, like maybe hundreds of years ago. They never even knew the guy. So a lot of it, how are you supposed to take these texts as truth to run your life? And people have to realize this. I mean, they have to go within themselves. I mean, now I learned a lot about Jesus being, he was a Gnostic. He was actually part of the Essenes, and he was teaching people to go within themselves to connect with the God force within you, that in order to pray, you pray silently. You don't go out into a church congregation and, oh, you know, like a hypocrite. I believe he stated that in the Bible. But in the other texts, there's Dead Sea Scrolls, the Hammadi text. They were written by Jesus's students, and they were hidden in the Dead Sea for many years. And they were found in the 1940s when people were able to become more civilized, I guess, at the time. And they were taken to the Vatican, you know, for more research and study. And Jesus was a completely different person in these texts. And that's why in the book, In His Image, the author, John Lamb Lash, is actually an interpreter for the Dead Sea Scrolls. He actually studied Aramaic for many, many years. And he actually put it all together and wrote a book about all of this. So that's something that you can check, you know, do your own research, of course, you know, learn Aramaic or learn what a lot of these words are saying, what the Dead Sea Scroll is. There's a book called The Other Bible. There's another one called The Hammadi Text. You know, just start doing the research. But according to what these the Dead Sea Scrolls represented about Jesus was that he was different. He was a very different. He was very Gnostic. If anything, he reminded me of a Buddhist monk. And many people say that the lost years of Jesus, you know, they never knew where he was, but he was in Tibet somewhere, or where was it? Kashmir, I believe. There was a place called Kashmir that he and his wife, Mary Magdalene, they ended up learning the ways of the Buddhist people, learning how to meditate, learning how to utilize the power of the mind and all of that wonderful, beautiful stuff. And there's even, supposedly there is his footprints are there. And it shows a man with his two footprints, and you can tell that his feet were, you know, were like chained down by chains of some sort. And very interesting. There's a video about that, but I highly recommend to check it out. Something about Jesus in Kashmir, what happened to Jesus in the lost years of him, Jesus and everything. Because supposedly he actually came down off the cross. Because, see, he did not come from a poor family. He actually came from a royal blood family. And according to Ralph Ellis, I read his work. There's a book called Cleopatra to Christ, man. I ate that book up, man, within days. And he explains, due to a lot of historical factors, and they can actually prove it through history, historical documents that go way the hell back, that he was actually the great-great-grandson of Cleopatra. And he had the bloodline of the Egyptians, the Romans, and the Persians. And that goes, you know, I'm not going to tell you about that. You need to read that. And he had all the bloodlines, very, very powerful royal bloodline that if he were to sit at the head of the classic world, he would have ruled it easily. That's why they called him king. He was not only Jewish. He was a lot more. He not just Jewish. He was... supposedly he had a school that was based on Judaism, but it was ancient Judaism, not the type of Judaism that we know now. It was based on ancient Judaism that could have been based on the Kabbalah and also ancient mysticism going all the way back to Persia, you know, even magic and alchemy and all of that ancient mysticism. That's where all the mystery schools came from. And very, very interesting stuff. So, I mean, Jesus to me is a very interesting and exciting character to learn about if when you really get to learn about him. But whenever I hear something about, oh, have you accepted Jesus yet into your heart? Those people are brainwashed. They don't even know anything about who Jesus really was. They never met the guy. They don't even know his real story. And it's because they're scared. They're constantly living in fear that if they do not accept Jesus Christ, they're going to go to hell. And they have to live that fear day in, day out, and they create hell for themselves. It's like you're already living in hell as it is. In reality, your hell is when you leave this world, guess what? You come right back. So welcome to hell, everyone. You're here. And then, you know, and the question is, if you think that Jesus was going to help you out of this planet, and you believed in him with all your heart, I'm sure all of us did, and many, many, many millions of years ago, many lifetimes ago, we keep coming back here. What the hell is up with that? We did everything right. We prayed to Jesus. We confessed our sins. We did everything right. We lived back in those days, and we still kept coming back. So you tell me, is that working? Is that belief system working for you still, or do you need to tweak it a bit? And I believe you need to tweak it, because it's not about leaving this world to go to heaven to figure it out. It's about figuring it out right here, right now, as a magician, as a magi. That's what Jesus was, by the way. He learned from his magi. The three kings that came from the east brought with them frankincense and myrrh. Now, frankincense and myrrh is for the rich and the wealthy. It was not for the poor people. Why were the three kings coming from Persia going to see a little baby in a manger giving him rich, wealthy incense and spices? You tell me, oh, because he was the son of God. Well, he was royalty. That's why. The bloodline was he was royalty. And if you want to learn about that, check out Ralph Ellis's work, Cleopatra to Christ. It will blow your freaking mind like it did mine. And I just love to do research. I love to research. I like to put things together in perspective so I can make a better decision rather than somebody pushing information down my throat and trying to accept this religion and not being able to really understand and learn about these entities and energies. So really, I mean, and then some people say that Jesus never existed, that he was the Son of God. And you know, you can listen to Santos Bonacci. He talks about that as well. And he goes into a very syncretism way of explaining things. And I find that to be pretty interesting as well. But, you know, I always keep a very open mind. And they even say that Jesus, if you look at the spelling, I-E-S-U-S, Iusus, Isis, because back in the day in the Hebrew alphabet, there was no J, there is I, which would represent Isis, which is a feminine energy, who was the goddess of Egypt. And also, there's other aspects, there's other research that Jesus might have been Lucifer, because Lucifer was the morning star and the light bringer, and they've also mentioned the same thing with Jesus, that he was the morning star too in some of the scriptures. There's a lot of things that are you need to learn and research in order to come to some conclusion and say, I'm going to believe this with all my heart on blind faith, you know. But hey, if it works for you, if it works for you and it makes your life happy and your life is abundant and you're healthy and life is great, then you know what? You don't need to listen to me. You know what you need to be listening to and what you need to believe. And that's what sovereignty is all about. Me, on the other hand, I came from being a Catholic. You know, I was baptized as a little baby, went into Catholic mode, didn't really know much about it, but I told my parents I want to go to Catholic school. I want to learn about God. I mean, I was all about God. I wanted to learn everything about him until I found out a lot of things that were just not in complete alignment. But, you know, I don't believe in the Torah God, no. I don't, because I believe it's connected to the Anunnaki and Zionism, of course. But I do believe in the prime creator, a source that is the creator of all that is. And it is pure love. There is no hate. There's none of that ego crap going on. It is just pure stream of love. It loves you no matter what your religion is, what your race is. It just is. And that is the belief that I believe. And it loves all entities and energies and fairies and whatever the hell. I see life as magical. I see life a little differently. I don't like to see life through the lens of a person that's always seen hell through the lens like, oh, this place is destructive. I hate it. I want to get out of here. And then people commit suicide. They get out. They come right back again. They go through the tunnel light chute and boom, they're here again. And then they really wonder why the hell. Why does everything seem so familiar? Did they not go through this over again before? Is there some type of deja vu happening here? Have I done this before? Of course you have. You've done this millions of times. Millions of times. Doesn't matter what religion you are, the religion did not help you. So you have to get it here now to figure it out. Make your life magical now so that when you leave, you're going to be able to astral project, travel to astral realms, be in control of your dreams, do a lot of lucid dreaming, do a lot of meditation. And we're going to be teaching that in the Raven Moon Shadow Temple. And I'm going to be teaching a lot of my members that, and with our magical classes, which I'm freaking excited to be doing. And I'll let you know when that happens. All right, guys. So anyway, we only have 15 minutes left, and I've been talking a mile a minute. I'm just very happy to be here. Really, I am. I'm really grateful to be and honored to be here on FreedomizerRadio.com. I started on FreedomizerRadio.com back in 2010, many, many, many years ago, and it really did change my life. I wish I could have been on a lot more. I just got too busy traveling the world too many times. And now that I'm an older lady now, I'm getting older now, I'm pretty much chilling out more and haven't really traveled much since 2020. You know, I decided, you know what, life's getting a little crazy. I think I'm just going to chill here in beautiful Mexico where we're not, you know, being completely you know, we're feeling like we're in a war zone all the time, because that's how I felt in the United States. Always in a war zone, always watching my speed limit, because if I went over the speed limit, oh, good goddess, here comes the cop there to, you know, give me a ticket. I mean, you just can't freaking have peace in the United States. I don't care what you say. I lived it. I'm a California girl. I've been there, done that. And to me, it was always a freaking issue there. And it's a beautiful place, beautiful country, but the boogers that run it are just not cool. When they finally get to leave and the people can take their freaking power back and be strong and say, you know what, we had enough of this bullshit, we ain't having this anymore, then you know what, maybe we might come back. Maybe we go to Texas. Texas seems like a really good place. Because Texas is about to separate from the United States. And if they do, we might just look into moving there. I think that would be a pretty damn cool place to be. The weather is going to be is pretty much similar to California weather, but it does get really hot unless you're in northern Texas. But, yeah, you know, there's just a lot of things to think about. But just know, gods and goddesses, you are always gods and goddesses. No matter what religion you believe in, no matter what you think you are, You're already infinite intelligence, you're infinite beings, and you are absolutely magical. You really, really are. And you need to trust in yourself, trust in your heart, trust in your creator, trust in your higher self, trust in your angels, that things will work out. But you just have to step out of that comfort zone sometime. And that could be very, very scary. When we step out of that comfort zone, oh my gosh, it could be a scary world indeed. All right. But anyways, I'm going to wrap this up early. It is St. Patty's Day for a lot of people. No, we're not getting wasted and drunk. We just want some pizza and a good little drink. But we're not celebrating St. Patty's Day for the reason why I just read why. Read to you why. It's just another day. If anything, we're celebrating the launch of our temple, RavenMoonShadowTemple.com. So grateful. It's Raven Moon Shadow Temple Incorporated. Based out of Nevada, and yeah. So if you are interested in becoming a member for free, come on down, subscribe, and I'd just be very happy to have you. And we're just going to keep on putting energy into that temple and make that sucker grow. All right, guys. Take care, everyone. Much love, light, and darkness to all of you, and take your power back, because you are the gods that you've all been waiting for. Absolutely.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.